Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Just tuning in, Boston jumped out early, went up by as many as 17. And then the Heat, with an unbelievable third quarter, outscored the Celtics by 20 in the third quarter.
This isn't about zones and defenses and offenses and stuff like that. This is, we just got to be better.
Dale Arnold.
When I started to hear yelling and screaming, and it sounded like a chair or something heavy was being thrown at the wall.
What happens in the locker room, you guys stayed in the locker room. It was nothing.
Rich Keefe. I lean Bengals getting 6 points.
Bengals plus six is the play.
Over 41 and a half rush yards for Kareem Hunt.
Dale and Keith
with Optimist Prime.
Thanks, Celtics.
Feel out the heat
on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith with Optimist Prime, Sports Radio WEEI. Transformers theme will now be part of our open, I think, from now on, at least on Friday.
That's Fitzy's theme. That's it. Yeah. He's here. He's going to tell you why the Patriots are going to keep it close.
And why the Celtics?
He's got the Celtics coming back.
What would you rather
watch?
Which
is insane.
The Patriots come from out of nowhere with lower expectations heading into the season, though you and I were bigger on Cam than most, I believe.
Yes.
And keep it close. An entertaining Sunday night. Oh, man, a 3-point loss. But this team's headed in the right direction. Or have your nuts stepped on once again by the Celtics with a 17-point lead.
I don't want that to happen. No. It felt like it happened last night over and over again because the Celtics team has been so frustrating in just this series alone. And obviously, there were some frustrating moments in the Raptors series, which is why it went seven games. But game one, 14-point fourth quarter lead, gone. Game two, a 17-point lead late in the second quarter. And then you get absolutely torched in the third. You lose by 20. 37-17, you get outscored by. You have seven turnovers in the third, 20 turnovers overall. And then Miami is throwing a 3-2 zone at you, and the Celtics seem to be flabbergasted by it. Then you're like, where do we go? What do we do? We can't get a good shot.
Can they do that?
Yeah, you're allowed to. And guess what? Nick Nurse ran a whole bunch of zones at you last series.
This isn't about zones.
I think it might be. And I'm dead serious. Brad Stevens is a college coach where every game they must have been going up against teams that do the 1-3-1 trap and the 2-3 and the 3-2 and the 2-1-2 and all the different presses and everything else.
Every area code in Manhattan.
All of them. They had them all covered. And what do you come up with? And, oh, by the way, Jason Tatum, who is your all-NBA player, takes one shot in the fourth quarter in which he played all 12 minutes. Mm-hmm. It's not like he had foul trouble or whatever. He played all 12 minutes, took one shot. It's just, it's brutal. It's on Brad Stevens. It's on Jason Tatum. It was a bad Marcus Smart game. Jaylen Brown, I can't tell if it's just him kind of disappearing. Is that on Kemba and Tatum, or is that on Stevens, or is that on him? But he looks good at times, and then all of a sudden you can't find him. No defense on Bam Adebayo in the third quarter. I mean, there was so many things wrong with that game.
We should point out that the Celtics did have a bit of a blow-up. And unfortunately for them, there were members of the media outside the dressing room who were able to hear it. Shams Charania, writing on The Athletic today, kind of had the inside story. And apparently, this was a beef between Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown. According to Shams, Marcus feels like he was kind of being blamed for what was going on. And you know, that the whole team should be part of the blame pie here. And evidently, they had stuff going on between them. Now, this is probably not a shocking message to many fans out there. Teams have beefs all the time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I have no problem. I mean, teams get into actual fistfights, and things can be fine. Yeah. So I'm not necessarily freaking out about that, but I am curious. Were players really blaming Marcus Smart for the loss? They and then if be. So, like what are we doing?
Did they miss the previous two series and couple right. and game and
even game
quarters?
One. Yeah. He might have been their best player in game one, and I know he didn't shoot very well last night, but it's to the point where he deserves to take outside shots as much as anybody
the
on this team.
The guy had the block of the bubble, if not the block of the postseason, until Bam Adebayo came in and stole his thunder in game one. I ask this to sort of reframe the fight. Is there anything positive that comes from it? Is this the look back on it and this is what they needed moment? Or does this show you like, no, they're
broke.
Torched, goosed, pork,
I think they're done. And I also think that this we're already annoyed enough, or I am, with Brad Stevens and his lack of, I don't know what he tells those guys at halftime, but they come out in the third quarter and take a poop.
Just stand around out there. That's fine. We'll and then the zone, the fourth quarter, okay?
But then the zone offense is atrocious. But then now on top of that, if some of the reporting is true from Sham Sharania that Marcus Smart is getting into beefs with assistant coaches or Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown had to be separated by teammates before anything worse happened, what kind of control does Brad Stevens have over any of it? Do they even like listen to him?
Yeah.
So on Twitter last night, the first person I saw talk about the Celtics beef in the locker room was from Gary Washburn. Malika Andrews also tweeted about it last night, and she reported on what it was she heard through the door of the Celtics dressing room.
They were up by double digits at halftime, and that frustration carried over into the locker room after the game. I was standing probably 25 feet from the mouth of the locker room when I started to hear yelling and screaming, and it sounded like a chair or something heavy was being thrown at the wall. And then I saw Marcus Smart leave the locker room, head towards the restroom, and he was still yelling back and swearing. And then afterwards, I asked Brad Stevens what he made of that whole incident, and he just chalked it up to it being a hard loss, and guys were just a little bit emotional. And Jaylen Brown echoed that, saying, at the end of the day, we are family. And Marcus Smart is fiery on the court. Sometimes he's fiery off the court. And they are just hoping that that fire can scorch the heat in game three.
Thank you.
Was she also doing, like, outside the Celtics locker room bubble whisper? That was, like, a very...
I think she probably had her
very
mask
careful.
On.
Very careful. Oh, that's true.
Might have been the mask on. Okay.
So
Brad Stevens is like, oh, I don't know what to tell you.
Oh, jeez.
So Jaylen Brown, supposedly...
Oh, man, 86, the chicken dinner guys were out. Thanks, assistant manager Brad.
Supposedly, these two guys kissed and made up, not literally, but, you know, afterwards, everything was fine. Jaylen was asked if what happened last night is something the team actually needs.
I think so. I think it's a beauty to it or whatever. A lot of people are passionate and emotional, and I'm one of those people, so I recognize it as that. I recognize it as emotion, as passion. I don't recognize it as nothing else or whatever. That's all it is passion, just being, you know, expressed. So we got to express that same passion next game for 48 minutes, period.
Yeah, like I certainly don't think that, oh, now Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown won't be able to stand each other or pass the ball to each other or anything like that. That's not going to happen. But you got to wonder, all right, why and how did it get to this point? And they had a really bad loss after game three when they lost at the Horn and nobody's throwing chairs. Going back to the Raptors series, they lost game three at the Horn and guys could have been pointing the finger, guys could have been throwing chairs, and they didn't. And they ended up staying together and they won that series in seven games. But now part of them has to say, man, like we don't really have any answers. We have no answers right now, and that's players, coaches, whatever, and we're just getting smoked right now by the Miami Heat.
There's no movement. That's the thing that's bothering me the most.
A lot of standing around.
Go back to game three, since you mentioned it from the previous series and the world's most infamous 0.5-second shot. They were able to not only draw up a play for two players, but then Lowry could think on his feet, heave a perfect Hail Mary across the court for the game-winning shot. There was a ton of movement. All I see from the Celtics is a lot of, oh, man, they put up that force field again. The zone is up. Like, there's no slashing. There's no anybody setting a pick. No one's moving around. Nothing. It's just they're standing outside of this perimeter waiting for someone to make the play. Guess what, guys? Unless you're the one who makes the play, done. Forget it. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, it's been bad.
Well, it's real bad.
Thankfully, our voice of reason, the guy we turn to when we want to know what's going on in the NBA, Kendrick Perkins, was on Get Up this morning, and he was asked if the locker room blow-up is notable at all.
Well, it should be a big deal. But Greeny, listen, the Celtics right now, they're showing up to the arena in a cute and sassy style of play, right? They got their Versace robes on and Versace slippers and Gucci slippers with their Louis Vuitton swimming trunks. And right now, the Miami Heat are showing up in their Nomex and they steel-toed boots, and they're ready for action, and they're grinding it out. This is dead bird tall grass.
Yeah, dead bird tall grass.
The Miami Heat are without question a tougher team mentally.
Oh, by far.
Probably physically, the way things are going, but mentally they are much tougher. They seem to be, and the Celtics to me are definitely more comfortable with the roles that they have compared to last season. But then when you look at a team like Miami, and it's like, nope, they got their guys, they each have their role, and they all excel in it.
Yeah, and what are you going to do? Turn to Time Lord, Grant Williams, Wanamaker,
oh, by the way,
or somebody, and just be like, hey, you're the enforcer now.
How about this?
I am.
How about this? Speaking of who you're going to turn to, Brad Stevens grasping at straws and throwing Romeo Langford into the game, and who knows how long he would have played, but he like hurt his groin. Obviously, he's been working out so hard, but he throws him in the first quarter, and I think the idea was to chase Duncan Robinson around, but we don't really know. He played a minute, and then he left the game.
Expect this Miami.
Yeah, he's like, hey, remember him? You're like, ugh, what? No, why?
That's not the answer.
So, I mean, he I think he might be grasping a little bit. You saw Enes Kanter actually play pretty well offensively, but he's like the Kemba version. He's like a big man liability on defense.
Like, I was going to say, he looks like he's wearing steel-toed boots.
Or cement shoes.
You want to drive lane? Thank you very much. Here you are. Yeah. and then Gordon Hayward. If he comes back.
You're pinning all your hopes on him.
No, I mean, yeah, he's going to score. He's not going to be. There is no tone setter. There is no someone who's going to knock someone on their ass. There is no somebody who's going to like stare. Like Jimmy Butler, when he drives to the hoop, I'd be one who would be like, Mr. Butler, right this way, please. By all means, I don't want to get in your way.
He's a bully.
There's no bully ball from the Celtics at all.
No.
So unless the Celtics like shoot lights out or somebody, aside from Marcus Smart, shows some passion on defense, why bother watching?
It is crazy because normally if a superstar player scores 14 points in a playoff game, you'd say, what happened to this guy? Would he fall asleep?
Mm-hmm.
No. He was making sure other guys got involved, and they all did. Mm-hmm. It was a good Robinson game, a good Bam game, and a good Goran Dragic game, who's also a stone-cold killer.
He's a super good shooter.
Dragic is more of a killer than anybody the Celtics have.
Oh, by far.
So the two biggest alphas are on the Heat. Mm-hmm. And not that Tatum's not as talented as those guys. In fact, he might be more talented, but it's just that's the one kind of missing piece. Like the true closer isn't there yet. I think it'll get there. I think eventually we'll be talking about Tatum being the guy in the fourth quarter that closes out games and wins series. But right now, it's way too inconsistent. And then the same thing can be said about Jaylen Brown and Kemba Walker.
Yeah, and the offensive rebounding last night, they got lucky in the fourth quarter that they were able to strip Butler, cause a turnover. But there was one key rebound where I remember Miami hoisted a three, brick, rebound went way high over the backboard. All five Celtics stood and looked at it.
No box out.
None.
Nothing.
And yeah. Miami just absolutely, three guys went after it. They got it. They took it down.
Yeah.
That's endemic of the entire effort they're putting forth.
That's an effort thing. Yeah, effort's
that's
a big
effort
part
and coaching.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, we've talked, when the Bruins got eliminated by the Tampa Bay Lightning, we talked about, does this team need to make organizational changes? And we all agree they do. You know, we've talked about, do you trade David Krejci? Do you not bring back Zdeno Chara? Older guys. Celtics, much younger. I mean, you know, their best players are all, you know, kids. Their oldest guy is Brad Wanamaker, for crying out loud. If they lose ignominiously here in the Eastern Conference Finals, what does Danny Ainge do at that point?
I don't think there's really much to do because Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, you are pinning all of your aspirations for the future on those guys. And you hope that right now they're 23 and 22. So at 24 and 23, what kind of step do they take? And at the very least, both of those guys are much better today than they were last year at this time. So you have a much younger core, like Dale said, than the Bruins do. Like that's in more need of a shakeup. And
I don't want to be getting rid of these young stars for the Celtics.
Those two guys you keep. Obviously, because of injury, I'm guessing Gordon Hayward opts in, and we can get to all this in the offseason, but Gordon Hayward has one season left. Kemba Walker, you signed to a long-term deal, so he's here. I know Wiggy wants to trade him already. He wants out. So I think you pretty much bring back the same team, and you once again, like they've done for what feels like three straight years, you pray for health. Because think about how many games has Hayward, Tatum, Brown, Smart, and either Walker or Kyrie from the
combination they're in, right?
The five best players in your team, how many games have they played together? It sounds like an excuse, but it's more the reality. They just they haven't seen what it really looks like. Because you know Danny will do whatever he can to make trades and try to add to the team, especially in the offseason. He's a little, I think, afraid to pull the trigger midseason now, it seems like, at the trade deadline. Didn't do anything for them. But offseason, he's willing to turn it over, but I don't think there's a whole lot to turn over.
But back in 2007, 2008, if you just had Ray Allen and Paul Pierce, we'll say that that's maybe like your Tatum and Brown now. Mm-hmm. Like, that'd make a good team.
You're a playoff
team. Yeah, and you got maybe young Rondo as Kemba, whatever else. But they needed to add A at the beginning of the season.
Right.
Without Garnett, none of that happens because he was the tone setter. He was the attitude. He was the soul and spirit of that team, which is kind of lacking right now. And then later on, when they realized they needed another defender, another tone setter, and another rebounder off the bench, they talk P.J. Brown out of retirement, and that's that last element that they need. I see neither one of those pieces on this team now, and that's going to be their undoing.
So I think, but you need Tatum and Brown. So Tatum's already an All-NBA player.
Yes, they stay.
So they stay, but they also need to, they sort of improve. And again, these are going to be two different comparisons, and you can laugh at them if you want, but Curry and Thompson with the Warriors, you knew it was on its way to being something. But when they had Mark Jackson as their coach, they were fine. They were good. They were the Splash Brothers. But then Steve Kerr shows up and was able to really turn them into something, and they ended up winning with that group. We're seeing it now with the Nuggets. The Nuggets had Jokic and Jamal Murray. And a couple of years ago, you're like, all right, who are they going to add? Who are they going to add? Well, stick with those guys, and they'll be your star players. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I think the Celtics are with Tatum and Brown. Tatum's already that guy. Brown needs to turn into an all-star.
617-779-7937. Phil's up in Maine. Hey, Phil.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure, sure.
Hey, so my point being, I don't know if Brad Stevens, I mean, he's getting pants by Spoelstra. He looks terrible coaching. All I'm sorry. He just absolutely looks awful. Right. And I don't feel, and you guys have talked about it, I feel like maybe he's lost a couple of these key guys that he needs to hold this team together. You know, we're talking guys that have been now 3 or 4 years together, had some success. They really need to take that next step. And for some reason, they're not. And we're talking in leadership as well as overall performance. Everybody knows Tatum's the big star player here. And you guys have talked about it, that he hasn't quite achieved that next step, taking that final shot, knowing what's a good shot and everything. But I honestly feel like these guys are kind of like Steven's voice is getting stale in that locker room for some reason. I don't think they're listening to what he's talking about. And maybe that's where the blow up leads with Smart and the assistant coaches. Maybe the assistant coaches are trying to reinforce what Stevens wants. And these guys are kind of like, nah, that doesn't work for us. So I don't know what's going on, but I don't think that Brad Stevens has the support of this team right now.
If that's the case, is that one of the changes you contemplate in the offseason if they get bounced in 4 or 5?
Not after you just signed an extension.
I know.
Yeah, I think that's out of it. I think you just I would. That's not going to happen.
Then what is going on right now and what happened last year and the year before becomes our new expectation. Like our new set of expectations gets shifted from, I'm pretty sure this is going to be the year, guys. I think the Celtics can go all the way to, yeah, you know, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. They're going to be, you know.
Maybe third round.
Brad
things Steven, fall their way.
Yeah. His legacy so far is, you know, they're Houston really Texans good in the regular the season. Yeah, they're really good in the regular season, but they can't even get to an NBA Finals. I mean, that's not good enough, is it? If you're Danny Ainge and Wick Grosbeck, you're saying, well, you know, they fight fiercely, fellows. You know, we're good.
Yeah, see, the years in which they had less talent and they made it far was great. And that was great, but there was obviously a cap on that. You weren't going to win the title with, you know, Al Horford and Isaiah Thomas and those guys, but they got the most out of it. Last couple of years, you've had a ton of talent. Last year, a lot of us, myself included, put 99% of the blame on Kyrie Irving and said, all right, now here we go. This is a much more talented team than being down 0-2
right now. Irving.
Yeah, this team needed to make the finals, especially once you went to the bubble and you said, all right, you don't have to go to Toronto. Like if they had four games in Toronto, three in Boston, you could sort of see that one maybe going the Raptors' way. But the fact that it's all neutral site games, then Giannis, the two-time MVP, gets bounced out. Again, Miami's a good team, but
I think we're guilty of not realizing how good they are. I mean, they're 10-1. They bounced Giannis. I mean,
right. Well, Giannis, yeah, and he got hurt in the series too, but they're good, but how do you explain the 14-point fourth quarter lead and the 17-point late second quarter lead? Like, if they're that good.
A lot of it's on you, but isn't some of it them?
Yeah, if we're going to try to, you know, come up with percentages or divvy the blame or success pie, I hate to say it, like, it's probably 50-50. I would say the Celtics are
good
equally... Well, I listened. Hey, yeah, if the shots, about, the shots go in.
It's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
Here you go, ready?
60-40.
How about that?
Thank you.
Who gets
the 70-30? Celtics.
70-30 Celtics fault. Yeah.
Yeah, 70%. I'll give you, it's a two-thirds, one-third kind of thing, Rich, because two-thirds of that is garbage, not being able to actually play defense, all those stupid fouls, the unbelievable amount, you double the amount of turnovers that the Heat have.
Oh, like
and
that,
you
that's
have to
so
give
sloppy.
The Heat some credit, though, Dale, for the fact that Dragic can be in someone's face,
he's nails.
Step back, move to the side, and just rain a 28-footer
that
down.
That shot over like, Tice at the at the 24-second deadline. It was
really?
What's wrong with that?
That's where we went with
that's
that?
Borderline at best, also.
Please, kids, don't try this at home, kids. This is a trained professional here.
Oh, knock it off, would all of you, please. It's a defeat. It's a defeat Friday with the rest of you thinking that Seahawks are going to win Sunday by 10. We're all mourning the passing of the 2019-2020 Celtics. All right, you said 8. That's fine. Someone's got to make sure the rest of you aren't falling asleep in your quarantine lunch at home that you had delivered by Uber Eats that arrived cold an hour late. Wake up, Dale. Come on. How about a little spirit? How about a little Optimist Prime? Come on. They can win tomorrow night and they can lose the series 4-2.
How about a little realism?
What good is realism going to do any of the rest of us, huh? Why? What's the realism for? The Celtics, are we just going to expect? Are we just not? I can't even talk over this.
No, you can't do it.
Okay. How do you expect tomorrow night to go then, Dale? Do you expect the Celtics to do the same exact thing, look good, seem like a different team from the night before, and then fall apart in the third quarter? Have improved by 10 to 20% at best, and then, okay, now you've got an 18-point lead.
Then Jimmy Butler goes off for 40, and you lose game 3.
And then you
three.
Fall asleep like they had a worse fourth quarter in game 1, and then they went back to their old Celtics third quarter ways. Are they going to lose it in the second quarter? Will the Heat just jump out to a huge lead and the Celtics play from behind the whole game? Are the Heat just playing with the Celtics at this point? It could just be that bad, Rich. It could be as bad as the Heat know they have the Celtics wounded and cornered, and now they're going to play with them. They're wounded, they're cornered, they're inept, they're fighting
with
themselves.
It's hard to be so porked when you're already so goosed.
You got to pick one.
That guy was not exactly Optimus Prime last night.
Damn it. Now you guys are talking me off my comfortable porch of optimism.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Still to come, in fact, moments away from our Kiefer Madness Week in Review. And then Michael Irvin joins us at 1 o'clock. It's Dale and Keefe with Optimus Prime, and it's time to trend.
Back to Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on WEEI.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
Keefe, kiss my ass. How's that sound?
Oh, Keefe's a nice guy.
What now?
I got really into home brewing. I got a home brewing kit. Pretty time consuming.
Who's door, Keefe?
Where's Keefe?
Where is he?
Where's Keefe?
Where is Keefe?
Hey, Keefe, you're a douche.
This is madness.
I'm going to suggest it might include poop.
Yo, Keefe of Madness is so hit or miss.
You're only giving a little spark of madness.
Thanks. Keefe, you maybe. Jackass.
Give Keefe for Madness?
Chris Bosh, and it's the Celtics.
You're going to have problems, just like everything else. But stay positive and stay strong.
And the latest challenge involves condoms.
Here we go. It's a Friday at noon 30. That means it's time for our week in review here on Dale and Keefe, along with Fitzy. And let's go back to Monday when Cam Newton was on the Greg Hill show.
Nice.
And let's just say he's got a few nicknames for some of the guys on the team.
Highway 11 to Doughboy to Dirty Dave to Smoking Joe to Winnie the Pooh to Freemason, you know what I'm saying, the Buzzo. You know, it's just a lot of them that go down the list. The Berkey, the twin number one, twin number two. Who else? Oh, and I can't forget my dog. I know he's on IR right now, but Bo Dilly. Everybody. Crazy Legs. Bent Dog.
I mean,
who's Crazy Legs?
How do you keep them all...
Who's Bent Dog?
That's twin number that's one, you, twin Dale. Number two. I can keep those straight.
Bent Dog would probably be Juwan Bentley.
Winnie the Pooh is my favorite.
Who's Winnie the Pooh?
Isaiah Wynn.
No, Winovich. Oh. Winovich.
No,
Isaiah Wynn. It's Isaiah Wynn. Okay. Come on.
Because that'd be Wino, or that would be maybe he'd be Thor.
Thor.
Or maybe he'd be like other Hemsworth or Hemdog.
Winnie the Pooh.
Yeah.
That is
Winnie
a really
the Pooh
one.
For Isaiah Wynn.
I mean, Doughboy.
If Isaiah Wynn doesn't dress like Winnie the Pooh for Halloween, he has failed everything.
What, no pants?
So what's that make us? What would he call us? We'd have to have
Optimus Prime's already
have
taken.
Optimus Prime, we'd have Get Rich or Negatron, we'd have Shime Time, we'd have Pencil Neck, and we'd have...
All right, wait a minute.
What are we going to... What's yours, Dale?
I don't have one.
Am I Pencil Neck?
What do you think?
Who else do you think?
When we reference the room in there and it's you and Shime, who do you think would be Pencil Neck?
Between me and Shime?
Yeah.
Shut up, Meg.
Yeah. We did have a listener refer to John as the Meg Griffin of our show. And so
you literally have Chris and Meg Griffin behind the glass.
Now, what also happened... We do have Chris and Meg. What happened with Cam Newton is at the end of the Dolphins game, if you remember, it seems like forever ago, but it was just a week ago. At the end of the Dolphins game, there was a lot of pushing and shoving and arguing. Somebody tried to snatch his chain at one point. And if you remember, in the post game, he said that there was a guy who was known for doing the splits.
Yeah, Shime sure cleared that up for us.
We didn't really know what that meant.
I forgot this.
Thankfully, Chris Shime at the news desk had the answer. Well, we thought he had the answer at the time for what Newton meant about a certain player doing the splits.
Yeah, I have done a deep dive, and this is low-key really bad burn. He is whoever he's talking about, which he doesn't specify exactly who.
No.
The splits is... Basically, I'm going to try and be this.
Be
as
careful
clean as
here, Shime.
Yep.
Be
is when
careful.
You pleasure yourself to really? The point where it becomes harmful.
We did a little more research.
First of all, Shime, there's no such thing as getting to the harmful stage.
Yeah, Dale, you would be mistaken. I'd be happy to explain it to you in a break.
He's no Michael Hutchins.
Okay.
Well, sorry, is that too much?
Listen. What we found out was that Christian Wilkins, the player he was talking about, after Clemson won the title, did a very impressive split.
See what
which,
I
nothing
hurt
more
me just to watch him
nothing
do it.
Less.
See what I did, Shime, was I typed in that man's name into Twitter and that video came up. As opposed to
I didn't know exactly who he was referencing.
Shime went in a different direction.
Say Christian Wilkins,
as opposed to going through seven different firewalls to get to your Urban Dictionary.
It is so painful.
Which is
it
just
is so painful.
The splits. Do you think Cam Newton would have honestly brought up to the media that everyone knows this guy like self edges
so
all the time?
He does call N'Keal Harry Doughboy.
He does. Yeah,
but that's
he does.
Because he goes caking because he likes to hit on girls, not because caking.
That's in the same arena, though.
By the way, Cam Newton totally
not,
denied Jennifer. That. He said it has nothing to do with that.
Pencil neck.
No,
it has nothing to do with
caking. It does. The splits. He did not just put that out there in a post game. And how would he know that? How would word get around?
Oh, you know,
I got
you know all the rest of the guys. We got Optimus Prime, Negatron, and of course Autobot. Why do you call him Autobot? Oh, because he likes to autoerotically asphyxiate himself.
Well, I knew he wasn't talking about
home
doing
roads.
Come on,
people. David Carradine, don't go there. All right, we also had one of Jermaine Wiggins' former teammates and now a weekly guest of the program, Keyshawn Johnson, joins us
Keyshawn's
on Tuesdays
appearance every week.
And had keys more
had to ask Keyshawn, what does he remember about his former teammate and now our teammate Jermaine Wiggins?
Bad body Wiggins. I like J Dub. He was good, man. You know what? I didn't think he was gonna make it out of Marshall. I was just like, ain't no way in the world he gonna make it. I'm just looking at his body and everything. I was like, nah. And he had that whole Boston, if I can remember, he was like a Celtic fan.
Yep.
And I was like, yo, bro, seriously? Like, you a Celtic fan? And Larry Bird? Because I'm an LA Laker and the whole deal. And he was like a Celtic fan. I was like, ugh, you know. He was cool. I like Wiggins. Wiggins was younger than me, and we got along very, very well. Like, in fact, I think I even took him under my wing to a degree.
There you go.
Except
sort of
when Wiggy was asked about that the next day on the Greg Hill show, he said Keyshawn taking him under his wing basically meant that Wiggy had to go pick up what he wanted at Chick-fil-A before
the
flight
Popeyes
stuff.
Yeah,
or Popeyes.
Yeah, yeah.
I just like knowing that BBW now stands for Bad Body Wiggins.
Bad Body Wiggins. We brought you a, there was a protest in Utah, and this was part of Kiefer Madness on Tuesday, where there was the anti-mask contingent. People are very upset that they're being forced to wear a mask out in Utah. And I thought one elderly woman may have put it best, and maybe the number one reason, Fitzy, to not want to wear a mask.
I'll tell you another reason I'd hate masks. Most child molesters love them.
Hard to argue.
What? Yeah.
Where did she get that from?
I'm not entirely sure where she got that.
No. Maybe statistical analysis.
Yeah, we couldn't really find
the
much
same
of a
site
backing
that you got the splits info off of.
She said, Shime, find me the background to this.
Yeah, I always sort of assume, like, yeah, they like unmarked vans or like really creepy like 70s cars.
Nope.
I'll tell you another reason I'd hate masks. Most child molesters love them.
And you can take that to my grave, yeah, which I'll be going
tomorrow.
To shortly.
If I had a nickel for every time somebody said when I was a child, does this smell like chloroform?
You never know on the program when you're going to get into a Liam Neeson off.
With a new quarterback that had a new set of skills.
Set of skills.
Yes, the skills that make him a nightmare for people like you. Good luck. Now, the new take is, because we've put, wherever you are, I will find you, and I will kill you.
Release the Kraken!
Different movie, but...
John's the worst.
Anakin! Same guy! It's the same guy! It's a different role!
By the way...
Completely different we're not talking about Kraken! He's like...
By the way, you played that drop so many times
so many midichlorians.
You played that...
Well, it's a different movie.
That's the joke now, John! You're a moron!
Sorry.
Part Liam Neeson off, part John's the worst.
Has John called HR yet?
Not yet.
Called him a moron?
Not yet.
Oh, no,
that's
not
fine.
Not yet. I think they would agree with me if they listened to the show.
Well, on the morning show, that's wrong. A compliment.
HR violation.
Obviously, is that ready? You ask him for any other cut? Not
nope,
ready.
No.
Not
nope.
Ready. He's going to
release the crack.
Yeah, he's sitting on that one. He's got dolphin noises and that. That's what we can expect out of him. Look how ready that was. Did you hear how ready that was? And then bees. Then a bunch of bees.
Oh, wait. I look forward all week. I set my clock not only for Light Fitzy's Money on Fire, a.k.a. Free Money with Shime. I also tune in. I tune in as much for the sound effects.
Sound effects. Oh, that's the name of the game. Oh, so 1:30 today.
Bears and cats.
Fitzy will find out what he's losing money on at 1:30 coming up today. He's got donkey sounds. The whole works. Wow. So John we know is the worst, but Chris Shime, meanwhile, was he or was he not listening to the program earlier in the week? I'll let you be the judge.
The Chargers aren't great. They're probably not a playoff team. Maybe in 3 or 4 weeks, maybe Mike Williams, though he is a little expensive, maybe he becomes available.
1:37 later.
I got the perfect name for you.
Okay, hey. Shime's been doing some work back there.
You mentioned the Chargers already.
Hit me.
Mike Williams. One of only two receivers in the NFL to average
what
more
you said
than
that,
20
right?
yards.
That's,
but Shime, I already
tune
went
in
off. I,
once in a while.
Hey, Shime, can you do me a huge favor? Can you see if Mike Williams will be available? Because that's what I said.
You know who
five
I like?
Minutes ago.
You know who I like is Mike Williams.
Yeah.
If they could find
Mike Williams would be better.
Yeah, you like Mike Williams?
More than you do.
Got another name.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me guess. Keelan Cole. And then that turned into a 10-minute segment of I got a guy for you. Or I got a name for
I got
you.
A name.
I got a name.
Cannot wait until Ancestry or someone else who goes and does deep dives into your family's name sponsors. Hey, I got a name for you.
Hey, I got a name for you. Which is going to be huge around the trade deadline, I imagine.
Oh, Monday when the Patriots win and you guys allow me to nickname the secondary.
You're right. If they win.
Or if they get blasted
win,
and me and Keith get to name the
then
defense.
We'll name them something else. I will call them the Boogeyman again. All right.
We'll do t-shirts.
Yeah, we should.
Stop it.
Resell them. All right, there you go, Dale. There is your week in review.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Michael Irvin will join us at the top of the hour. When we come back, a Woj bomb about the Celtics and Brad Stevens. We'll give you the details. Dale and Keith with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
Bad Body Wiggins.
I got the perfect name for you.
I'll tell you another reason I'd hate masks. Most child molesters love them.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keith every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
So we've talked a lot about what happened post-game last night, and apparently things got very heated in the Celtics locker room. There were sounds of what sounded like chairs hitting walls and all that stuff. But we've got a Woj bomb about it. Adrian Wojnarowski, ESPN, says, and I'm quoting now, tweeted, ESPN sources, Brad Stevens had a late-night Thursday meeting with Celtics leaders Kemba Walker, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart to work through the emotions of post-game two locker room. A lot of yelling in the locker room, but nothing escalated to a physical confrontation.
So they had a pizza party, is what you're telling me.
Now, Rich, you have long been an advocate for this.
Yes, I have.
Nothing, and it's hard for me to argue with you.
Nothing brings people together closer and quicker than 5 to 6 large pies and a couple of two-liter sodas.
Yep.
Some solo cups, too, if you have them. Pour those out. Make sure everybody's get their soda. No ice, unfortunately. It's a little bit flat. But
yeah.
Paper plates. Have as many slices as you want. You know, double them up. We got pepperoni. We got cheese. The pepperoni's over there. The cheese is over here. Next thing you know, the team's bonding again. Smart and Jaylen are laughing again like they used to. Maybe Fitzy's right. Maybe they do bounce back and win the next 4 straight.
A feeling circle done in beanbag chairs.
Nice.
Yes. 6 feet apart. 6 feet apart.
Socially distanced.
Not allowed to hug it out.
No. You can elbow pound it out.
What?
Is it an elbow knock?
Keith, no.
Please.
That can't be right.
Elbow pound it out.
Huh?
Hey, how do you do your veal cutlets? Elbow pound them out. They're really nice. So a pizza party done in beanbags, socially distanced in a feeling circle at 1 a.m. in the Orlando bubble is what is going to bring this team together and help them work through their on-floor zone defense.
Final score, Miami 101. Celtics 80. We'll be back with a wrap-up in just a moment.
If you didn't think they were screwed before, my God.
Screwed, blued, and tattooed in this one, please.
So are you coming
out? I'm next level.
Optimus Prime's
out. You know what? That's it. He's
done.
What's the level above goose and porked? Gorked, right?
You can't say that on the
air. You can't say it.
No, there is another level, but we're not allowed to say it.
Is it Dunsky?
No, it's way past that.
That's a different toast.
Benito.
Of course, it's food.
Right to food.
Yeah, buttered toast. You're like, all right, calm down.
Hold on, toast. There's no hating on toast.
I hate on toast.
Toasted. You do?
I just did.
Wow. Okay. So
I like the toasted bread. I like toasted bread.
Of course, the great Blues Brothers reference, and B, you know that Jim Nance carries around a card shows in diners that shows him how burnt he likes his toast.
Yeah. I know that.
How can you hate on toast? It's what powers America's announcer.
All right. Well, they're more than toast. Toast doesn't even do justice what the Celtics are.
So are they pork toast?
If they come out tomorrow night and pull off what we have a hard time picturing right now, some win over the Miami Heat.
Okay, Doomsdale.
Is Brad Stevens suddenly a genius? Was his late night session with Walker and Tatum and Brown and Smart that fixed this whole thing?
Well, I mean, did they discuss how to get shots against the zone during this
meeting? We're not worried about that, because it's not about the zone.
Or was it just, hey, you guys aren't going to fight each other, are you? Like, hey, everything's all right. You guys aren't mad at me, are you? Everything's good?
Hey, guys.
Everything's fine?
One time I remember my brother was walking in front of me, and he slammed the door, and I walked into it. And, you know, I remember yelling, gosh darn it, Jimmy.
Aw, shucks.
But you know what? I realized that's my brother for life. So I opened that door up and I said, hey, next time be more careful.
Yes.
Well, guys, we got to be more careful tomorrow night.
They're like, wow, that's a really relatable story, Coach. Thanks.
I mean,
thanks so much. That definitely applies to this right now.
Hey, Coach, can you go bus table 13?
I'll say this. I mean, as much as we're mocking it now, and we are, he's got to do something, right?
Nope.
He can't just pretend it didn't happen and, the boys will work it out. We'll be fine. Let's go.
Well,
I mean, you got to do something.
He's been doing nothing for a while.
So it's not a bad time to start.
I guess you might as well mix it up a little bit and try to make things a little bit different. I think the only thing you can possibly hang your hat on at this point is Gordon Hayward returns and plays like he's not hurt and gets Miami out of the zone because they, for whatever reason, can't get shots. So maybe you put Gordon Hayward at the free throw line. He turns. He's a great passer. Maybe he's also willing to take that shot. Get him out of it a little bit. It's a missing dynamic that they don't have. You notice they're not getting scoring off the bench. I know Cantor made a few buckets, but there's nobody you can really count on off the bench there. So maybe you just add one more guy to that rotation. Maybe, just maybe. But that is a lot of hope for somebody who just one month ago, 4 weeks ago, suffered a grade 3 ankle sprain. So I don't even know if he's
going
to be ready for tomorrow.
Well, we had a caller earlier who said he should have been back long before this.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, if he wasn't such a weakling.
Yeah, get out there.
S-A-W-F-T, soft.
See, he's getting
soft.
He's going to go out there. They're going to win game three because of Gordon Hayward. Mm-hmm. He's going to put up a triple-double. Mm-hmm. His wife's going to go into labor. Mm-hmm. He's going to leave.
Mm-hmm. That's it. He's going to be the key. No.
And there he is. There's our Rich key.
And then
Rich.
They're going to lose game four and five.
He plays game four.
Okay.
Then he goes for like 27-7
Yeah,
and
he lights it up.
Lights the place up. And Mike Breen is like, bang, bang. I've got no more bangs to give. Gordon Hayward will bang. And then
leaves at halftime because his wife... His wife's giving birth.
Gordon Hayward, go. The most unbelievable first quarter. Bang!
Guys, I gotta go.
Out.
I gotta go.
Gotta go.
Like, wow, Hayward, 30 points in 20 minutes. Unbelievable. He's
I got
gone.
A plane where'd he go? Up on the runway. I gotta go.
He's gone.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, Cancun.
Well, I guess
John,
he had
what was that apropos of?
John,
I know.
He just found
that
it.
Was the, I know what that was.
No, we were probably going to play that 2 hours ago, and he just found it. That's my guess.
That was Kendrick Perkins saying, that's right, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. Okay,
great.
Good.
Exactly what we were talking about.
That was that in the folder labeled "That would have been funny Wednesday."
He's like, "Well, the week's almost over. I better fire these off.
We have to here.
Dale.
I got buttons I haven't pushed.
Dale,
yet.
I'm Check so out the sorry. I am so sorry, Dale. We approved without your seal and signature. We approved a new bit at 1:59:59 seconds called "Empty Out the Sound
the
Bites."
Chamber.
Yeah, where Anderson plays every last sound he forgot to play this
None
week.
Of it makes sense. Hopefully you're listening Tuesday at 11:15 because that's one of the payoff.
But when you think
been.
Back to then, you're going to just
howl. You'll laugh. Oh, you'll laugh. Oh, mostly inside jokes at 1:59.
Boom, roasted.
When we come back, the playmaker Michael Irvin will join us, and we're going to light a match to Fitzy's money at 1:30.
I can't wait.
Stealing Cheap with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.